Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives individually and as Holy Cross together. And we pray this for the honor and glory of your Son, Jesus. And we pray it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Would you please be seated? There is a lake in Uganda. It's kind of right on the border of Uganda and Congo. There's a lake in Uganda called Lake Edward. A Ugandan friend of mine named Edward once mentioned that lake and said with an impish smile, "Lake Edward, named for me." Well, today is Holy Cross Day, named, of course, for us. Now, Holy Cross Day is a specific day in the church calendar. It's actually September 14th, but because it's a big deal for us, it's sort of our Saints Day, if you will. We celebrate it on one of the Sundays near the 14th. There's a short explanation at the beginning of your bulletin on why the day is celebrated originally. But what we're going to do today is look specifically at our calling here as Holy Cross Cathedral on this celebration of Holy Cross Day. We do not preach ourselves. We preach God's word. We preach Jesus. And today we're going to look at God's word and specifically how it guides us and defines who we are and what we're called to be and do as this particular congregation. And we're going to look at that today by focusing on our specific mission statement, which actually is written on the front cover of your bulletin every Sunday, but today it's also written in the sermon section, so you don't even have to flip your bulletin. Everything we do is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at what God tells us in the Bible, that what we are here to be about. And we're going to do that by looking at each part of our mission statement. I'm going to break it up into three and hear God's word to us in each of those sections. So we're going to break up the mission statement into three sections and look at each one and see God's word to us in each one. So first, the first part, everything we do. At the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry, before he ascends, he took his disciples aside and gave them their marching orders, the commission for the church that was to follow him and to follow them. We call this in the church the Great Commission. So Jesus says in Matthew 28, he says this. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always." Jesus gives his church marching orders. This is what we are to be about, making disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. This is what we are to focus on. And as we say here, everything we do is to be done with this goal in mind. I've been reading a fascinating book recently called Stolen Focus. You can read it. You can learn more about the specifics of the author's evaluation of our culture, what's going on. But one piece of it that he mentions that has stuck with me surrounding this topic is he traces how we got to this false idea of our ability to multitask. Do you know where the concept of multitasking comes from? Multitasking actually comes from the computer world. When computers were given multiple processors, they gained the ability to focus on more than one thing at a time because each processor could do something different. True multitasking. We've then applied that concept that we saw in computers to our own brains, thinking that we can multitask in that way. But what scientists have done is they've discovered that what we're really doing when we think we're multitasking is we're just bouncing back and forth between tasks, not really focusing on any of them. Now, this isn't a Christian book, and that's fine. It's not about our mission statement, but it is identifying an essential piece of our mission as the Church of God. Single-minded focus is needed. for an individual mind, certainly, but also for a congregation like this. Single focus on the goal that we've been given is essential. Everything we do, we say, is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible describes that kind of focus on what we're called to do, describes it in one place as the way a soldier can't get involved in civilian affairs. They'll split their focus. The way a farmer cannot put his hand to the plow and then look back, because everything goes off in the wrong direction and gets messed up when we're not focused on where we're going. So here at Holy Cross, this actually becomes an essential part of our decision-making process for ideas, for programs, for things that we fund and support, for the strategy for how we go about trying to do this. The goal is not just, say, more bodies in chairs. If that were the case, we could just start serving beer and more people would show up. It's true. The goal is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we focus ourselves on that, even when that means choosing not to do something good so that we can focus on what's better for us to focus on. How does this program, this idea, this event, how does it lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ? That's an essential question that we ask about what we do here, because the people that planted this church identified from the Lord this language that we are called from Scripture, called to devote everything we do in this direction. So that's the first part of our mission statement. Everything we do is focused on that mission. The second part. Everything we do is to lead people. Everything we do is to lead people in this direction. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He writes, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Or it could be said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And the context of what he's talking about there in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, right where that "follow me as I follow Christ," right where that comes from, the context of what he's talking about is doing whatever is necessary to reach people. Jesus left the glory of heaven and came to get us. And Paul says in that context that we all need to do that, to gladly give up whatever we must in order to reach people and lead them to Jesus. And we lead real people, identifying where they are and how we can best lead them and guide them closer and closer to Jesus. I mean, I hope you know this, that your leaders here regularly think and talk about what we believe you and those in this community need to be led closer to Jesus. That doesn't in any way mean that we do it perfectly, but we are constantly thinking about how we can lead you, often by name, how we can lead you closer to Jesus. And we pray for you by name that you will grow closer to Jesus. And that's what we as the church are called to do, prayerfully to identify how we can lead people closer to Jesus. But we as a church, we cannot lead people unless we're going there ourselves. We can't lead people unless we're moving closer and closer to Jesus ourselves. We don't stand and point and say, "Go that way," the way workers at, say, most grocery stores do if you ask them a question, if you can find them and ask them a question. The answer is usually something like, "Oh, it's over in aisle 2 or 3 or maybe 11, I'm not sure." But we lead people to Jesus, which means we're going that way ourselves and we're bringing others with us. You can't lead someone where you don't go yourself. My 2-year-old son is around that stage where he's now able to walk up and down the stairs. Not completely, not if he's tired, you know, that kind of thing, but he can do it himself, sort of. I could point him down the stairs, or I could lead him down the stairs by the hand or right in front of him, and he walks carefully behind me. I do not stand at the top of the stairs and point and say, "Good luck." I lead him down. I go there with him, and I lead him. And the fascinating thing to me, I don't lead my 9-year-old down the stairs anymore. I used to, but I don't anymore. He can do that himself. And now, my 9-year-old will help carefully lead my 2-year-old. Now my son Caleb is actually taking the responsibility to lead someone else, to lead his brother. In order to lead others, we need to be going there ourselves. As Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And you are called to join in wholeheartedly following Jesus, in growing in relationship with God, in worship, in greater and greater obedience to God, in greater and greater love for one another, and then invite others to join in that pursuit. One way that we can lead others in this is in our own family. If you are a parent or grandparent, your kids will learn more about worship and following Jesus from you than they ever will from me. This is why we keep families together in worship, except for the youngest kids going out during this time, so they're taught in a more age-appropriate way, and they'll be back in a few minutes. But you lead your family by entering in wholeheartedly, with wholehearted commitment and passion. Your family should see your commitment to Jesus so that they can follow you as you follow Christ. It's a little bit different, but the same is true with your friends. The friends that you bring with you, the friends that you have conversations with about Jesus, they can see your devotion and can join in following Jesus. Our calling is to lead people to Jesus, and we can't lead people where we're not going ourselves. We can only join in the mission of leading others to Jesus if we are actively pursuing that, actively growing in that ourselves. So we are called to devote ourselves to everything we do is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, to devote ourselves to growing in Him and leading others to do the same. Everything we do is to lead people in that direction. And then the third part, the last part of this statement. Everything we do is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Not a stagnant one, but a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, with God incarnate who came to save us. We need to be focused on wholehearted devotion to that goal, to growing in relationship with Him and leading others along with us in that direction. Just listen to what the Bible says and the way this sounds. This is from Philippians chapter 3. This is growing in relationship with Jesus, continually growing and striving in that direction. Listen to the way Paul writes it. Paul writes this. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, I'm not there yet, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I don't consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not a finished product. I haven't reached the goal, so I press on and strain towards it. Other passages of the Bible, this growth in Jesus is described like athletic training. Train, work, learn, grow to become more and more like Jesus. A growing relationship with Jesus. So how do we grow in relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm going to suggest it's pretty simple. It's not always easy, but it's pretty simple. Year after year of the things I'm about to mention, year after year of these things will shape us more and more into the likeness of Jesus and draw us closer and closer to Him. And not doing these things will inhibit us from truly growing in Him. So I'm going to list a few for you. Worship. Gathering together faithfully in person on Sunday every week to worship God together. Read the Bible. Read the Bible every day. Don't just read books about the Bible, but read the Bible every day. Say your prayers. Pray. I'm going to actually have you do something right now. Under the seat in front of you, there should be two books, hopefully. Should be two books. They're both red. One says Bible. Guess which one that one is. The other one, the one that doesn't have any words on the front, it has some crosses on the front, that's called the prayer book, the Book of Common Prayer. Would you go ahead and just pull that out just for a moment? I just want to show you something. As you're pulling that out, the red book with all the crosses on the front, page 67. Would you turn to page 67? Just want to show this to you. Book of Common Prayer, page 67. Pages are still flipping, so I'll say it one more time. Page 67. Now, if you have a personal or family way of praying faithfully every day, then I am not suggesting that you need to stop and do this instead. But if you are not praying every day, or you're not even sure how to do that, here's a tool that can be really helpful. This is a tool in our prayer book called Family Prayer. And it's suitable for families with younger kids, but also for a couple together or an individual, personal prayer. There are four simple guides for prayer. There's morning, afternoon, evening, and bedtime. Try one. This is in no way a requirement or the only way to pray, but if you need a tool to help you get this started, here's actually a really good, simple way to follow through some prayers. You can also insert your own prayer about different topics. It gives you some short scripture that you can read at different times in the day, and I would invite you to try it. You could do all four of them. That's great. You could do one of them. You could do two of them. My guess is probably the most common ones are morning and bedtime, probably the ones that get used the most often. But I would encourage you to, if you need a tool, try this. Page 67 and following in your prayer book. Worship. Read the Bible every day. Say your prayers. Invite. Personally invite others to join in following Jesus. Come to church with me. Come to Bible study with me. Come to small group with me. Come to this special event that we're having with me. Invite others to join you. Last one I'm going to offer today, obey. Obey God. God really does expect us to be obedient to His ways. Thinking back to the Great Commission mentioned earlier, Jesus tells His followers to teach others to obey all that I've commanded. Obedience matters. Following Jesus does involve changing our behavior to be more and more in line with His new kingdom. It's more than that, but it includes that. Following Jesus does necessarily involve really stopping things and really starting things. Following Jesus cannot mean ignoring sin in our lives because we just don't want to change. Obedience matters. There's no arrogance in this. There's no, I'm doing pretty well. When will you shape up? It's not like that at all. But moving into a growing relationship with Jesus includes continually seeking holiness in how we live, continually changing our lives so that we remove any and all sin. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and theologian, put it, he said, "The call to discipleship is the call to change." Following Jesus involves change. It involves obedience. Worship. Read the Bible every day. Say your prayers. Invite. Obey God. I told you it's simple. It's not always easy, but simple. A growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you actively growing in relationship with Jesus? Everything we do is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we celebrate Holy Cross Day, as Holy Cross Cathedral, let us renew our mission that we are called to pursue, to devote everything that we do as a church, everything we do to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything is to move us in that direction. And we must be growing in relationship with Jesus ourselves so that we can lead others to know him more. Single-hearted devotion, leading by example, continually growing in relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything we do is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.